to read God's Word this morning in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, the text this morning will be verses 5 and 6. We'll read the first 12 verses of the chapter. This is the word of the Lord. My son, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. We'll stop reading there. The text this morning is verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The Word of God speaks to us as we begin the new year about our relationship with God. The truth of God's Word that's before us here is the truth of faith. And when we speak of faith, we are speaking of our relationship with God. Because faith looks to God in confidence and dependence on Him because of who He is. And we have this knowledge of Him and of who He is because God has established with us a relationship of love and friendship through Jesus Christ. And in this relationship that we have with Him of love and friendship that's alive in us, we know Him in His beauty and in His glorious majesty. We know Him because we're united to Jesus Christ by a true and living faith. And one of the fruits of that being united to Christ is that we know Christ and that we know God Himself. So we see this morning that what's before us is a relationship with God. And we understand this morning that this is the defining relationship of all of life for us. This determines everything for us as God's people. And part of that relationship is this, that we as His people trust in Him. We rely upon Him. We place our confidence in Him. This is the Word of God to us as we begin this new year. The Word of God that we consider this morning takes that relationship that we have with God in or through Jesus Christ and applies it then to our lives and teaches us that here's an aspect of that relationship and here's how it applies to our lives. We have the calling to trust in Him. That's an important Word of God for us because as we begin a new year, we don't know what God has planned for us. We don't know what the economy will do. We don't know if we will continue to have a job. We don't know if we will continue to be able to pay the bills. We don't know if things are going to get worse before they get better, or if they get better at all. We don't know how our health is going to be in this new year. A lot of times we assume that we know and we think that everything will be fine and we'll continue healthy and strong. But the reality is we do not know. We don't know even in the next year who it is of our flock, our congregation, that will be taken to glory and will not be here next year when we gather for worship, the Lord willing. But we're not left completely in the dark when it comes to the future. We don't know what's going to happen. We live our lives as if behind a curtain, waiting at every moment and every day to find out what God's will is for our lives. We're not left completely in the dark. God has revealed to us those things that we do need to know. And that which we do need to know is that God is our God. God is Jehovah. He is our Jehovah, our faithful covenant God. And Jehovah says to us now, as you look to the future and you don't know what's going to happen, this is what you do need to know. You don't need to know what's going to happen. Maybe sometimes we think, boy, it'd be nice to know what's going to happen, and I could plan for it. But then when we go through difficult times in our lives, we say, it's a good thing I didn't know about this ahead of time. If I knew about it ahead of time, I would have done everything that I could to avoid this. But God says that that's His plan for lives, and we need that. We don't need to know what's going to happen. All we do need to know is that God is Jehovah, and He is our God. This is the good counsel, then, that we receive in this new year for the future. Let's understand that we need this good counsel. We understand our need for counsel. We go to people for advice at certain times. When young couples are engaged or going to be married, they see the importance of having pre-marriage counsel, that they would learn more about marriage and how they are to live within the marriage bond. Young people, when they want to find a career and how it is that God wants them to serve Him in their lives, they may seek out a counselor, their parents and others as well, to help them in that decision that they must make. When there are important decisions to be made in our own lives, we may go to others who we respect and who have wisdom and seek their counsel. We need counsel. We need counsel in this new year as well. And the counsel that we need is this: trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. The counsel we need is this: trust in the Lord alone. That's what we consider this morning. Trusting in the Lord alone. Look first this morning at the exclusive character of this trust. Secondly, we look at the firm foundation of this trust, and that is our knowledge of Jehovah God. And then finally, at the certain result, when the text says, "And He shall direct thy paths." In the text, we have a complete description of what faith is. As I said in the introduction, the truth of the Word of God that's before us is faith. When you read of trust, trust is the activity of faith. When you read that word in the Scriptures, think right away of faith. That's also the idea of that word leaning. That as well has the idea, or points us to the idea of faith. And the idea of faith that we have here is depending on someone else, relying on someone else. It's that in which we place our confidence. That is what faith is, or at least the activity of faith. Especially that word lean here in the text, when it's used negatively, lean not unto thine own understanding. There's a positive then. Lean not on your own understanding, but lean upon Jehovah God and your understanding of Him. But that word lean is a figurative word teaching us about what faith is. To understand that word, maybe think of a young child and how that child has confidence in mom and dad, so that when the wind is howling and there are storms coming, that little child is scared. Where does he go? He goes to mom and dad. Middle of the night, crawls into bed with mom and dad. There it's safe, he thinks. Mom and dad will protect me. That's the idea that we have here. The idea of leaning upon someone who is able to help and able to protect and able to give strength. Or think of someone who's broken their leg
and they need something to lean on. They're going to have a crutch, a good sturdy crutch to help them get around, or maybe a good sturdy cane to help them get around. They're not going to find some thin wood dowel at the hardware store and lean on that because they know they put their weight on it and it's simply going to crack and it's not going to help them at all. That's the idea of faith that we have here. It's confidence and reliance upon Almighty God. Faith is looking for help and protection from God Himself. You have that idea expressed in many passages of Scripture. We have it expressed beautifully in Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 56 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." This faith of which we speak here is a faith that's evident in life too. That's why we go to God in prayer. This is an activity of faith. We put our confidence in Him. So in that faith and that reliance, that confidence we have in Him, we cast our burdens upon Him, knowing that He is the one who is able to bear those great burdens. So when we talk about trusting this morning, this is the activity of faith. And in fact, it's the principal element of the activity of faith. Bible Catechism, Lord's Day 7, teaches us what faith is. It's a certain knowledge and assured confidence. And both of those ideas go together. There is a confidence. There is an assurance. There is a strength there. And that strength is tied to knowledge, that which we know of God. So that the idea is we put our confidence in the one whom we know to be God alone. Trusting then is this activity of acknowledging, I am weak, but God is strong. I can't do it myself. I rely totally and completely on God. Now, as we look at this truth of faith, there is a focus here in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And that which is revealed to us about faith here in these verses is that our faith in Jehovah must be exclusive and comprehensive. It must be in God alone. And it must be for all things or in all things. Faith depends on God alone and it relies on Him for all things. That's the truth of the Word of God here. Notice that. It says, trust in the Lord. It doesn't stop there, but it says, with all thine heart. And then in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all the different parts of life and the different areas of life, trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. The idea there too is it points us to God and to God alone. Trust in Him and in Him alone. We're to do that with all thine heart. That's a beautiful idea. For the heart emphasizes our relationship with God. The heart, the spiritual heart of the child of God is that part of man in which he lives in a loving relationship with God. The heart is the spiritual center of a man. It has to do with how he lives in relationship with God. The wicked, they're enemies of God. They're not directed towards God, they're directed away from God. But the child of God, he's directed towards God because he's been given a new heart. A heart that loves God and a heart that knows God. This is a heart that the child of God has because of the work of Jesus Christ. And therefore, there's a knowledge of dependence upon God. And the heart of the child of God is directed to God by His sovereign grace. So that the child of God puts his hope and confidence in Him for the present and for the future. But the idea then is that our trust in the Lord must be in Him alone and in nothing else.
That's the beauty of those words that we read at the beginning of our worship service this morning in Psalm 118. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And certainly the idea is not, well, you can put confidence in both, but it's a little bit better to put your confidence here. No, the idea is put your confidence alone in the Lord. There is no help. There is no strength in man or in the things of this earth. So it's to be in God alone. But secondly, the idea here is this: in all thy ways, the Word of God calls us to trust in God in every part of life. Every part of life. Now, beloved, here's where we can struggle at times to live out of this faith that God has given to us as a precious gift. We know, of course, that we are to rely upon God and God alone for our salvation. We are to trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of our sins, because He has washed away our sins by His shed blood on the cross. It's through Him and Him alone that we have everlasting life. But the Word of God here is this: this trusting in the Lord is not just for salvation, and then in all the other areas of life, then we simply go in our own way. But the Word of God is that this is applied to all areas of life. When it comes to your health, when it comes to your finances, when it comes to your life at work and things that happen at work, when it comes to the things that happen in your home life, when it comes to what's happening in the church as well, when you're lying in a hospital bed, when you're going through great trouble and affliction in your lives, the Word of God is trust in the Lord. When you're lying in a hospital bed, trust in the Lord. When you lost your job, trust in the Lord. When it's a struggle to make ends meet, trust in the Lord. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. When you're worried about the future, trust in the Lord. That's the Word of God to us this morning. Now, of course, that trust in the Lord doesn't mean just sit back and wait and see what it is that God will do. God requires us to be faithful. He requires us to be active. If a man loses his job, he doesn't sit at home waiting for a job to fall into his lap. It's not going to happen. He goes out and looks for a job and tries to find a job, of course. God calls us to be active. We have responsibility before Him. But in all of these things, as we're active in the midst of this world, He calls us to trust in Him. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. Place your confidence in Him. We know this. I don't judge this morning that any of you think that we don't need to trust in the Lord in all areas of our lives. What I know from my own life, and seeing the lives of God's people too, the struggle for us is on a daily basis to live this Word of God when things don't go as we would want them to go. And when things don't go as we would want them to go, our initial response is to fear and to worry. And many times it's not to direct our eyes to the one true and living God, who sovereignly controls all things and who loves us with a perfect love in Jesus Christ. When a mother's having a bad day in a home, I would dare say often the first initial reaction is not to look towards God, but to despair and to think all is hopeless sometimes. When things don't go well at work, we don't always see the sovereignty of God and that we are called to trust in Him. When there's stress in our lives and we feel the pressures of the responsibilities that we have in this life, and things aren't going as we want them to go in this life, and it seems that everything is against us, it can easily happen that our focus is not up on Jehovah God, but instead we just look at the mounting things that are happening around us and we despair and we're hurting. Now the Word of God comes to us and says, remember in all of these things, even these things which you think are minor when you look back on them, remember in all of these things and in all that will happen in the future, trust in the Lord. Now that truth that we are to trust in Him alone is brought out especially when the text says, lean not unto thine own understanding. What is this understanding? Well, our understanding is the understanding of the child of God. It's an understanding of things that are going on, the things that are happening around us. And as this understanding has to do with what we're going to do when there are things that happen in our lives that we're not happy with, when things are not going as we would want them to go. And this word says then, don't trust in your own understanding. Why not? Your own understanding can't be trusted. Even as a child of God, your understanding cannot be trusted. As a regenerated child of God. Because your understanding is weak, and my understanding is weak. Our understanding is influenced by sin. Our understanding is influenced by the things that are going on in the world around us. The idea is that our very thinking and our thought processes are influenced by the world and our own sinful natures, so that our own understanding cannot be trusted. This own understanding that the text speaks of is ways that we would invent to find relief and deliverance from the troubles and hardships that we face in this life. And so the Word of God says to us this morning, don't trust in other things. It says to us, don't trust in the world either. The world says, trust in the government, trust in the banks, trust in insurance policies, trust in the doctors and all the rest. Trust in these things. We see that especially when it comes to the government. So many people put their confidence in the government, in the man who's at the top, in those elected officials, thinking that they will be able to deliver this country, and then really the world, out of economic ruin and disaster. That's where they put their confidence. And so easily, we can put our confidence there as well and be influenced in this way. When it comes to finances, the world in which we live puts their confidence in their own understanding. This happens in many different ways. The world in which we live emphasizes quick, get-rich-quick schemes. It emphasizes working just a few hours, you can make thousands of dollars. You can work from your own home. You can work poolside from your pool in your backyard and make thousands and thousands of dollars with very little work. They're scams. That's the promises that they make. And then people put their confidence in those programs. And all of that is not motivated in the right way. It's motivated by greed and by love of self. And this is the world in which we live. So we have to look at this in regard to finances. We have to look at this in regard to health. Don't put your confidence in doctors and their abilities. Some of you know that. They make mistakes. They don't do things rightly. They're men. They're women. We put our confidence in Jehovah God. This is an important word of God because not only must we not put our trust in these things, but understand when we do put our trust then in our own understanding, what happens is that we're going apart from what the Word of God says. And there is that great danger then that we lean on our own understanding, and in leaning on our own understanding, we depart from the Word of God. You see, this applies to all areas of life, and I can't possibly touch on all of them this morning. But take, for example, the training of children in your home. And you may have had it that, of course, your parents spanked you when you disobeyed. And then maybe you've tried that with your children, and then you throw up your hands and say, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so we have to try something else. And now this is what the world says. The world says they won't package it this way, but this is really what they say. You can manipulate your children into obedience. That's what you ought to do. There are books written about this, even supposedly Christian books. But they don't bring out the Word of God. What they're bringing out is manipulation tactics. You can manipulate your children into obedience. Then we as parents begin to think, well, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try this way. And then we go away from what the Word of God says. We're not teaching our children obedience
thankful obedience. We're not using the rod. And many times, by the way, when parents tell me that the spankings don't work, I ask, well, do you use a rod? Well, no, I use my hand. And I think it probably hurts me more than it does the child. Well, there's the problem. You're not following the biblical way. The biblical way of doing it. And then doing it in love and doing it with instruction and teaching them that you love them and that's why you do this and that's the exact reason that God does this. But you see, the point is that when we lean on our own understanding, we try to find our own way and we think we know what works, and then we're departing from what the Word of God says. That can happen in regard to finances too. Not just to meet needs in the home, but we think we need these more things than simply what we need. And so what happens is then a man sends his wife out to work when there are many children that are to be cared for in the home. Simply to have the luxury items, the things that are beyond necessity. And then there's a parting from what the Word of God teaches. We think in marriage as well that we can find our own way out of our troubles. Or when we're battling with sin, we find our own way out. And it's departing from what the Word of God says. That can happen when we're struggling with a sin in our own lives. Oh, I can change. I can do things differently. No, you can't. We cannot. We can't do it in our own strength. The Word of God says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding in those things either. You see, this happens in all of life. Or it happens with stress. What does the world say when you have stress and when you have problems and there are difficulties even between two people? What should you do? Vent. Vent. That's what you have to do. And we can pick up on some of those things and think that that's what I need to do. It's all right for me to punch a hole in the wall. It's all right for me to vent because I'm angry. Tell me where in the Word of God that it says we may do that. That's not the biblical way to deal with conflict. And the biblical way to deal with struggles in our lives, that's leaning on our own understanding. And that's a departure from the Word of God. The Word of God says to us at the beginning of this new year, trust in the Lord and follow what the Word of God says. Don't trust in the things of this world. Don't trust in the government. Don't trust in riches and wealth. Don't trust in savings accounts. Don't trust in education. Don't trust your own abilities in business and to be successful in the world. Don't trust in medicine and in doctors. That doesn't mean we may use them. That doesn't mean we don't go to them. But we don't place our trust in these things. Don't trust in your own abilities to battle against sin or in the help even of other people. But instead trust in the true and living God. He alone must be the object of our trust in this new year. Why? Because of who He is. That's the focus here too. Here's part of that complete picture of faith that we have here in the text. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Jehovah. And part of that is this in verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. What does that mean? Well, part of acknowledge is to know Him. And that's part of a true and living faith. Trusting in the Lord is based on the knowledge that we have of Him. So the idea of the text is, in your trusting in the Lord, look to and see the truth of who Jehovah God is. Look to Him. Look to Him alone. That's another way of expressing it, isn't it? Faith is this. It's looking up to Jehovah God. And that's not something mystical. That's something real. Because it means clinging to the true knowledge of Him. That true knowledge of Him is expressed in this name, Jehovah. That's the beautiful name of God, revealing His unchanging, faithful, covenant love. It's a name that reveals that He alone is trustworthy because He is the one who never fails. The things of this world and the people of this world and ourselves included are not trustworthy. The money and the pleasures and the good times
and the sports and all the other things of this world cannot sustain us. These things are not dependable because they're part of this creation that passes away, that fades away, and that will one day be destroyed. The one who is faithful is Jehovah. In fact, Jehovah Jireh is His name. That means He's Jehovah Provider. He's the one who provides all things that we need. This is the name that was revealed when Abraham and Isaac were up on Mount Moriah, and Abraham was about to kill his son Isaac in obedience to the command of God. And the name revealed there is Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Provider, Jehovah Provides. He provided there a ram in the thicket to be sacrificed there on that altar in the place of Isaac, as a beautiful picture of that which Jehovah provides for us. What does He provide? He has provided the gift of His Son, His only begotten Son, to suffer and die in our place, to atone for our sins. And thus we see that He is the one who provides all things that we need for body and for soul. We look to Him, Jehovah Jireh. And there are two truths about Jehovah that we ought to see as well in that name. As Jehovah, He is able to provide those things that we need. This name indicates that God is sovereign. There are no limits to His power and rule. He is able to take care of us and all of our fears. He is able to take care of our burdens and our daily struggles. The truth is, we are helpless, but God is able. God is strong. He is able to do above that which we ask or think, above that which we can't even imagine. And therefore, those who trust in Him, trust in His promises. There are many promises of God that He gives us throughout the Scriptures. But in Psalm 37, we see how those promises of God are connected to faith. Psalm 37, in the beginning of the psalm, we're commanded to trust in the Lord. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And there's a description there in the following verses of what it means to trust in the Lord. Now, that's based on who God is and what He does, and that He is able to care for us. And that's found later on in the psalm, verses 23 and following there. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. Beautiful idea. He upholds us with His hand. The idea that I explained last night. My son Garrett slipping on the ice, but holding him up, grabbing him by the arm. That's what Jehovah God does with us. He holds us up with His hand. Verse 25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Point is that the Lord, He takes care of all of our needs. That's the beautiful truth we find as well in Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? That's a question, but we know the answer. If He spared not His own Son, if He gave His own Son, the Son of His love, His perfect Son, to pay for our sins, how shall He not freely give us all things? He will. He gives to us those things that we need. He is able and He is willing. And that's the other part that we have to understand this morning. This name Jehovah not only indicates that Jehovah is able, that He's strong, but it also indicates His love for us. He's a faithful, loving, covenant God. He is the one who has willed to draw His children to His bosom through the work of Jesus Christ. He is the one who has so loved us. He gave to us the Son of His love to save us from our sins. And believe this. Believe this Word of God. His love for you doesn't change. His love is not based on you and what you do. And that's why His love doesn't change. It's based on Him and who He is and what He does. And so Malachi 3 verse 6 says, I am Jehovah. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. His love for us changes not. Do you believe that? Do you know that? That He is able to care for you and that He will care for you? Do you know His love for you? Well, then in this new year, trust in Him. Trust in Him. But there's another part to this acknowledging Him in all of our ways. Part of this acknowledging Him is not only acknowledging that He's Jehovah, that He's sovereign, that He's the God who loves us and cares for us perfectly, but part of that is acknowledging that it is His Word that leads us and guides us in this life. Trusting in Jehovah means trusting as well in His precepts. We looked at the negative of this a moment ago. That when we're leaning on our own understanding, what we do is we go astray from what the Word of God says. But now let us understand positively that part of trusting in the Lord is trusting in His precepts. Because His precepts are true and right. The idea here is that those who trust in Jehovah also obey Jehovah. Faith is expressed in the life of the child of God by doing good. You see, those who trust His sovereign rule for their lives and acknowledge His sovereign rule over their lives acknowledge as well that He is the one who tells us how to live. He is the King who says, follow my commandments. Do these things in thankfulness for what I have done. They believe then that He instructs them in His Word and that in His Word they are called to live in obedience to Him. Go back to the beginning a minute. Our relationship with God defines all of life. It defines where we place our confidence. It defines as well how we live. And it says here, in all of thy ways, acknowledge Him. But the idea is that in all parts of our lives, in every area, work, home, school, for your children and young people, here in the church, wherever you're at, the Word of God calls you to live in obedience to Him. This is part of acknowledging Him in all of your ways. And by the way, notice as well that this is sandwiched between instruction concerning how the people of God are to live. Verse 7 says, be wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. That's a vital part of this command of the text. Our passion as the people of God must be living to the glory of His great name and acknowledging God's Word then in all parts of our lives. Considering how it is that God wants me to live in regard to my finances. Considering how it is that God wants me to live in regard to my conduct at work and my conduct with my friends and my life before His face at all times. And may it be our godly resolve in this new year to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. Because that's part of what it means to be a believer. That's part of what it means to trust in the Lord and to trust in Him alone. Not following our own ways, but following in His ways. And there's a certain result to this. That result is, we'll read at the end of verse 6, and He shall direct thy path. Here, the text is looking to the future. It's in the future.
It's talking about our paths in the future. Now, when it comes to the future, the world in which we live is very afraid. There's no doubt about that. Don't let all of their partying and their words of confidence about 2009 fool you. The world is afraid. They're afraid of what might happen in this new year. And that fear becomes really an idol for them. And it influences the world. And it can be for us as well. Fear can dominate. Fear is dangerous. Because when people are motivated by fear, they make decisions then that are based on that fear, that are simply emotional. That's what politicians prey on in times when there's an election. They prey on fear and hope that people vote out of fear. And they try to distance themselves, as the two candidates did, from the previous administration and say that there's going to be change. You see, that fear is dangerous. And it can be dangerous for us as well in the church. And the things we're thinking and the things we do that we're motivated by fear about things that we don't know are going to happen, but we fear might happen. They arise in our own minds. We have no idea if they're going to happen. We have to be very careful that we in our decisions are not motivated by fear. That we're not motivated by some idea of a boogeyman that's around the corner that we fear. About things that are not real and do not exist. In this world, the fear in which we live, we have the answer of the Word of God for the future. What's that answer? Well, that answer is, He shall direct thy paths. He's in the driver's seat. He's in control of our lives and of all things that happens in the world. We can almost breathe a sigh of relief right now. True. It's all under His control. It's not under mine. Really, that's what we're doing when we lean on our own understanding. Beloved, so many of us, if not all of us, are control freaks. We want control. We want control of our lives. We want control of our families. We want control of our own economy, our own financial dealings, and all of the rest. And the reality is, we're not in control. Not at all. Not at all. Jehovah God, He is the one who directs our paths. There's nothing to fear then for the future. Jehovah is in control. And that He directs our paths has this idea as well. There's an end to it all. And that's the end of which we spoke last night. The end is glory. The end is heaven. And what a comfort that is as well in this new year. The end of everything that happens in this new year is heavenly life. So in all things, He directs our paths. He directs everything that happens in our lives until we reach that end, that home, that goal of heavenly life. So now let us go forward in that confidence in this new year. He shall direct thy paths. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the blessed truth that Thou art God and God alone, ruling over all things and directing our paths. Grant us grace in this new year to live in that confidence. We know not what's coming. And so easily we fear and are anxious about that. But grant us grace day by day to follow Thy word, obey Thy commandments, and trust in Thee, the living God. Father, strengthen our faith day by day so that we would not be afraid, but day by day, in all the circumstances of life and all parts of our lives, we would look up unto Thee. Hear us and answer us in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.